I've got a sermonette that I've titled Blackness or Light. My first career was in commercial art when I was just out of high school. And one of my jobs was to work in halftones, retouching black and white photographs using an airbrush and pen and ink and brushes and different things. That involved using a monochromatic spectrum of ink and paint ranging from black to white. But it was mostly shades of gray that would dominate the work that I was involved in. That seems to be the way most things would appear in a black and white photograph. Over the years, it has been my observation that we Christians tend to fall into a similar scale based on the brightness of light. In fact, that analogy is used very predominantly or prominently in the Bible. And I think it would serve as a good follow-up to the holy days that we've just observed this fall to see where we each fit in terms of being lights. I happened to be doing a little research this morning, and I noticed that there are some listed 221 feast sites around the world from involving people who were once in the worldwide Church of God or who stem from that. And so I guess we could say that we're in the gray zone. Maybe we are not on fire like we ought to be. Maybe we are not shining the way we should be, but I came away from this feast personally recharged, understanding even more vitally how important it is for us to be involved in what Jesus Christ is leading his church to accomplish. Everything from the work it's been given to the doctrines that we are to uphold and live by. I'm going to present a little survey about light in this sermonette, and I hesitate because I think it might be a challenge to keep up with all the scriptures both turning to and writing down, so maybe you would want to pick one or the other, but I want to give you a full survey of these to bring home some points. And again, as I go through this, I keep a measure of yourself going. Is your light bright and shining ever more brilliantly in your Christian life? Or is it dim? Are you fading into blackness by allowing your light, your personal example, to go out or to burn low? Are you allowing darkness to overtake you? And a final question to set the table here. Are you even aware? Have you taken stock of that personally? It's easy, you know, to get comfortable and not to be challenged. When we go to these feast days, we should come away with a sense of being challenged and with a renewed spirit of involvement in what God has called us to do. Let's begin in Luke 11, verses 33 through 36. You'll find that Jesus Christ often spoke of what we're going to read here in various ways, and I'll quote a few of those. Luke 11, verse 33, "No one lights a lamp and puts it in a place where it will be hidden, or under a bowl. Instead, he puts it on a stand so that those who come in may see the light." We're not going to be tucked away forever, brethren. As prophecy unfolds, Christians are going to be, whether we want to or not, we're going to find that we're going to be more and more in prominence, if not acceptance. Verse 34, "Your eye is the lamp of your body. When your eyes are good, your whole body also is full of light. But when they are bad, your body is also full of darkness." If you're blind, you can't see. And you don't know what you're missing, perhaps. "See to it," in verse 35, "then, that the light within you is not darkness." That's something we have a responsibility to attend to. Matthew 6, verses 22 through 23. Matthew 6 and verse 22. "The lamp of the body is the eye." kind of rehearsing what we've already quoted from the words of Christ. If therefore your eye is good, your whole body will be full of light. Not just gray tones, but full of light. Verse 23, but if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in you is darkness, how great is that darkness? It's not light, it's darkness. Now I'm going to go through a few things and just highlight again several scriptures by way of review. And I package them together maybe to give us a sense of that we can take away a summary concept from this. There are works of darkness, but we have the armor of light. And that's a quote, I'm paraphrasing this and giving you a little different way of saying Romans 13:12. And I'm not turning to these scriptures. I'm going to give you the highlights from them. So there are works of darkness. We understand that. It's how we act in our lives that would be considered darkness. Next, there are hidden things of darkness. 1 Corinthians 4 and verse 5, which will be brought to light. They won't remain hidden. We can't hide wrong behaviors from God. Let me continue as a fulfillment of this point here. But we, you and I, brethren, have been called out of darkness into his marvelous light. A quote from 1 Peter 2:9. And I'm giving these quotes from all throughout the New Testament to make the point that the analogy holds true and it's something we should be aware of. Next, God is light. That's the way he's defined so that we can understand. And in him, no darkness at all. 1 John 1, verse 5. No darkness. He's not operating in the gray tones, in the gray zone. And a complementary scripture to that is James 1, verse 17. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. Again, making the point that God does not dwell in darkness. And yet, we know that this world does. And we are in the world as lights. Next, Satan keeps the world in blindness. That is, darkness. Not seeing the light. 2 Corinthians 4:4 picks that up. And he does this by posing as an angel of light. It's a deception. It's not the true light. It will not propagate into more and more light, but rather it will end up in darkness. And that's a pull quote from 2 Corinthians 11:14. And then next, Jesus is described as the light of the world. And if we have been called by him, we are to follow him out of the darkness of this world. And I could give you all kinds of specific scriptures in the book of John, for instance. John writes a lot about light and uses it as an analogy in the gospel that is ascribed to him and to First John in particular. Now, I'm going to give you three scriptures that talk about our path to remind us of what we are engaged in here in this Christian calling. And I think it especially is a springboard for what we heard at the Feast of Tabernacles and the rest of the fall holy days. Ephesians 5:8 makes this statement, for you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. It's a lifestyle. It's a way of living that we've been called to. So we understand that we have been called to the truth, that our minds have been opened so that we comprehend the light. That is the truth of God. 2 Corinthians 6 and verse 14. makes this statement. Again, contrasting light and darkness. It says, do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. That means what it says here. For what fellowship has righteousness with lawlessness? There's the contrast. Righteousness is obedience to God. Lawlessness is following Satan. And what communion has light with darkness? God doesn't want gray tones. 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 5. Again, three scriptures to kind of rehearse our path. You, in 1 Thessalonians 5, 5, you are all sons of light and sons of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. Again, this analogy of the light and dark and trying to get us to understand our role as Christians in this world. It's not an easy role. It's difficult to walk in the truth when the whole world is blinded to it. Now, moving to just a little bit of a different theme here with a few more scriptures. Wear out your writing hand here. Acts 26:18 is a verse that is quoting Paul about his calling by Jesus Christ in the miraculous way that he did when he was blinded by the light that surrounded both Paul and those with him, and then he heard what Christ said to him on the road to Damascus. But in Acts 26, verse 18, these are the words of Jesus Christ that he's recounting here. He says, to open their eyes, this is what you're going to have to do, Paul, in order to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God. That makes it even more specific that if you're not in the light, you're not under the power of God, but under the power of Satan the devil, that they may receive forgiveness of sins, to turn from their sins, to repent, and an inheritance among those who are sanctified by faith in me, to be put into the very body of Christ, the church. 2 Peter 1 and verse 19. 2 Peter 1 and verse 19, and so we have the prophetic word confirmed, which you do well to heed, as a light that shines in a dark place until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts. It shines in a dark place, and that's where we are, brethren, shining in a dark place called the world. 1 John 2 and verse 8, again, a new commandment I write to you, 1 John 2 and verse 8, which thing is true in him and in you, because the darkness is passing away. That is the work of Jesus Christ given to him by the Father to remove darkness. And the true light is already shining. He conquered the world. He overcame Satan. And we are to do the same thing in our lives through his power. Now, just a little bit more. Jesus said that men love darkness because their deeds are evil. John 3, verse 19. Do we love darkness? Let me go back to the halftones now. We can't mix, based on these scriptures, we cannot mix blackness and light. Not in our calling as Christians. Our Christianity must not be gray. And if it is, move toward and into the light. That means we become more zealous for the Word of God. Brethren, as a church, as Christians in this generation, we need to wake up and get out of the gray, that half sleep that we're in, and to turn to God in ways we've never done before. If you are even slightly aware of what's happening in the Middle East, in every nation of this earth, we know that darkness is descending on the earth in a way that it never has been. Violence is darkness. Murder and the mayhem that's going on now is the darkness that the Bible speaks of. I'd like to give you just a couple of more things to consider here. Two more references. I know you filled up 5 pages of notes already, right? But I wanted to give you this sweep of scriptures, and I haven't even begun to touch them all. I mean, this could easily be a sermon or a series. But Jude verses 12 through 13, I want to contrast two final scriptures for us to consider about whether when we evaluate ourselves, we're living in blackness or light, or we're limping along thinking living in the gray zone is all right. Jude 12, these are spots in your love feast. While they feast with you without fear, serving only themselves, they are clouds without water, carried about by the winds, late autumn trees without fruit, twice dead, pulled up by the roots. Raging waves of the sea foaming out their own shame, wandering stars for whom is reserved the blackness of darkness forever. You want blackness? God says this is what will be the end. Death for humanity, certainly. And that is a blackness that is the second death has no retrieval from. But I don't want to leave you on the total negative here. There is an opposing scripture that counterbalances that. I don't know if any of you can guess where I'm going next. It's in the Old Testament. It is a prophet that I'm going to quote. Jesus Christ quoted him and called him a prophet. Daniel 12 and verse 3. This is why it's so important that we pay attention. Daniel 12 and verse 3. Those who are wise shall shine like the brightness of the firmament, and those who turn many to righteousness like the stars forever and ever. So we see that our course and our path will lead to an ever-increasing brightness and shining until we are glorified in the family of God. And that's what that is talking about. No longer darkness. You know, we heard the scriptures read from Revelation about God and Jesus Christ being the lights of the New Jerusalem. And we'll have a place in that if we are faithful and we do what we must do now in the present time. So something to think about. Let's go about these next months with zeal and do more than we have done in the last months. And let's get closer to God as we do so.